A few weeks ago, I spoke with author and entomologist Doug Tallamy about replacing our grass lawns with native trees and plants.
We humans are part of nature. We depend on the life support systems that nature delivers us every day. But the way we landscape excludes nature and pretends that we are separate from nature.
Now there's a group in Western Pennsylvania that's showing people how it's done. So I went to check it out. Tamara O'Brien has been slowly removing the lawn from around her home in Pittsburgh South Hills and replacing it with beds of vegetables and native plants.
All that mass in the middle there is purple Anis hyssop, Agastache. It's covered in pollinators all summer, but then all through September and October, the goldfinches are on it. They eat the seeds.
She leaves the dried out flower heads of the hyssop, sunflowers, and other plants in her garden over the winter. And the colorful hodgepodge of plants in the front of her house is a contrast to a neighbor's property, which is edged by a neat row of evergreen shrubs. O'Brien is co-founder of the new Western Pennsylvania chapter of Wild Ones, along with Ed Wren, who lives in Pittsburgh.
The mission of Wild Ones is to educate people about the value of native plants and natural landscaping, and to make it easier for people to do that sort of gardening, because one inspiration for me was that I wanted to have a native plant garden, but I found it extremely difficult to find the sort of plants that I wanted. And we're already at 55 members after 3 months.
So you mentioned natural landscapes. What does that mean?
No pesticides, no fertilizers, no chemicals whatsoever.
To me, it means we should garden in such a way that helps the earth rather than harms it. And the type of lawns that we generally have are the main destructive thing in landscaping, because for one thing, they are ironically biologically sterile, even though they may look very alive. But in a lawn that's made from one or two species of grass, if you look at one of them, you will really never see any sorts of insect life, and insect life is what supports the whole food web, including all of the birds.
Our native bees and our native pollinators are who do most of the work for us, and they need a lot of support. Their habitats and their homes are being destroyed.
And even worse than that, the chemicals that are used on these lawns are actually killing insects because of pesticide drift, and they're killing other plants through broad spectrum herbicide.
Up to a third of our bees are ground nesters, so if we're spraying our grass and all we have is grass and we have no habitat for them, then they can't produce, they can't reproduce, they can't do what they need to do.
How do you guys support other members or interact with each other and sort of share these ideas?
Our most successful popular type of program is simply one of us inviting other people to see our gardens and see how this is actually done, because it's hard for a lot of people to really imagine what goes into putting in a native plant garden. I think people think it's too difficult, that you might have to weed all the time, but that's really not true, because a lot of our native plants can take care of themselves and outcompete weeds. And I find that I'm spending less time maintaining my garden than if I had a grass lawn that I had to mow sometimes every week early in the season.
We provide opportunities for people to go and learn from people who are well-versed in native plants and installations of native plants. We find local nurseries. Then we ask these local nurseries to host events for us where we can come and have a little outdoor meeting.
We are working to create demand for native plants and natural landscaping services so that they will become more widely available. And we also are interested in public policy. We would like to see public policy which regulates or outlaws some sorts of pesticides and herbicides, that outlaws certain invasive plants like Japanese barberry and Callery pear.
We've had some issues for people all over the country and in our closer to home communities where they are getting cited with codes for having weeds in their yard. And that's also not okay. So policy does need to shift. People writing these laws need to understand the effects of, you know, saying we all need to plant the exact same things. We don't need to do that. We need to shift the public's perspective of what a weed is and what kind of life does it support.
Our national organization has wonderful resources, including region-specific native plant garden plans, and they have lawyers that will help to fight against these restrictive zoning codes.
Leaves are going to be falling. They are falling. I know that there's sort of the concept of leave the leaves. Can you just tell me about what that means?
Our butterflies, our moths, a lot of our insect life that we need, our vital pollinators, they overwinter. They make themselves a cocoon inside a dried up leaf. And then that leaf falls from the tree and is on the ground. I understand people get upset because the leaves drop and it kills their lawn. So you rake your leaves up. You have a designated wild area where you then take those raked leaves and you hide them away somewhere on your property. So those pollinators and that life can still live and then come out and pollinate for us the next year.
And it's not just leaves, it's also stems.
Yeah.
Because to me, taking away leaves and stems is sort of like taking away our comforters and blankets and sometimes even our beds and houses. So just from a wildlife standpoint, it's great to leave the leaves and stems. And if we either leave these materials on our own property or make sure that they're composted, then that's really great for climate change. But I find that most of my neighbors put it out to the trash. And what happens is that this valuable carbon goes to landfills and creates methane, which is extremely potent greenhouse gas. So if we can sequester more carbon in the soils, it's great for soil health and it's great for the climate.
I hear some kind of lawn
yes,
motor
all over the place here.
And I noticed that a lot of your neighbors here have pretty manicured lawns and shrubs. Have you had any pushback from your neighbors about your lawn?
No. No, they like it. People stop and ask. I show them. I talk to them. I share plants with them.
No. Maybe some people have been too polite to complain about my garden, but I have a lot of people walk by and admire it. And we're trying to create a new paradigm. And it's great because the new paradigm is both more joyous and giving to people and better for everyone. And we're trying to change the kind of the social and community perception of what good gardening is without trying to be too much in people's faces.
Ed Wren and Tamara O'Brien are with the new Western Pennsylvania chapter of Wild Ones. There's more at AlleghenyFront.org. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.